Thank you very much, Paulina, for getting us on the stream. This is Julie Hewitt, the chair of the Pacifica National Board. This is an emergency meeting. It is August 11th. It is 8:39 p.m. on the East Coast, and I'm calling this meeting to order. Mariana Dane, could you please call the roll?
I will do so. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes.
Okay, Teresa Allen.
Present.
Good. Bert Cohen, I presume, is not. Indeed. Jim Damon.
Here.
Good. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
Here.
Good. Sue Goodwin.
Here.
Good. Heather Gray.
Here.
Good. Donna Grimes. Okay, evidently not here. Evelia Jones.
Present.
Good. Ali Lexa.
Here.
Good. Marianne Martinez. Marianne Martinez. Okay. James McFadden.
Here.
Good. Darlene Pagano.
Here.
Good. Lawrence Reyes.
Presente.
Bueno. Sean Rhodes.
Here.
Good. James Sagerton.
Here.
Good. Sharon Salam. Sharon Salam. I'm not hearing anything. Aki Tanaka.
Here.
Good. Mark van Landuit.
Present.
Good. Beth van Gunten.
Here.
Good. Egberto Willis.
Here.
Good. Susan Young.
Here.
Good. Julie Hewitt.
Here.
Here. Good. Stephanie Wells.
She is not attending this evening.
Okay.
Still recovering.
Julia Kennard.
Here.
Good. Paulina Vasiliev.
I'm here.
Good. I think Arthur Schwartz will not be on for the open session.
Correct.
John Tatum.
I'm here.
Good. And I'm here. So I did not hear from Sharon Salam or Marianne Martinez or Donna Grimes or Bert Cohen.
Okay, Chair. Chair.
I'm sorry. I am the chair. I recognize Vanessa. Sorry.
Thank you. Donna Grimes is on her way. She's running in late from work.
Oh, great. Thank you very much. Appreciate okay. that. Okay.
Move to excuse.
Hang on one second. I need to go back up to the top. Yes, we are on to excused absences.
Yeah, move to excuse everybody not here.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Are there any objections to excusing those who are not present this evening? Thank you. Marion, could you record those names in the minutes as well, please?
I will do so.
Thank you. That brings us on to the next item, which is identifying timekeepers. I need someone to keep time for people. Can I get a volunteer?
Oops. I haven't done people before, but I'll give it a shot.
Okay. Thank you, Susan Young. Is there someone willing to time items?
I'll do the items if Darlene wants to take a break this week.
Okay. Cool. Thank you, Lawrence. Appreciate that.
Okay. I'll send it to you.
Okay.
No, you're not muted, Lawrence.
My bad. I was sending Sister Sharon the information.
Oh, thank you. The next item on the agenda is agenda approval, and I will hang on. Let me look at the open session meeting, because the next item on the agenda actually was the chair reading the report out from the closed session of August 4th, 2022, and the report out is, the PMB met in executive session to discuss confidential financial and personnel matters. Okay, now we're on to approval agenda, which we've listed as a 10-minute item, but that's only because I did not go back and revise the time on account of this agenda being rather short. So item number two is agenda approval. Item number three is approved minutes, of which there are none. Item number four is discussion of the Pacifica draft audit for FY 20 and 21. Eileen Rosin, chair of the audit committee, will be presenting, and there will be a motion that we will pass regarding that, and that's a 30-minute item. And then item number five is adjourning to the closed session at a time certain of 9:30 p.m. Any, can I get a motion on the agenda, please?
Move approval. Susan moves approval.
I have a question.
Hang on. Who was the second?
James.
Thank you, James Sagerton. Yes, Teresa, go ahead.
And are we sure we're going to do, in regard to the audit issue, are we going, is that why we're going into executive session?
No, we're going to do the audit in open session.
Okay.
And that's the, you know, the fact that we got the audit only within, you know, the last week is, even though we anticipated, is the, you know, the reason why we called this an emergency meeting, this emergency meeting for this evening.
Well, I just wondered, this is an emergency, not an emergency meeting for the audit issue, right?
Correct. That's right.
And I think that when we scheduled this meeting tonight, originally it was to state, oh, well, there's going to be an emergency meeting. And then we tacked this other issue on to it. And I'm wondering.
Oh, okay. So that is worth discussing. So, last week we thought about, we thought that there would be other items that we would discuss this evening. You're absolutely correct. But the issue there is with, you know, including those other items on the agenda for this evening is,
the matter of notice.
Yeah, exactly. Because last week's meeting went late, including the executive session. We did not get the 7-day advance notice that's required by the CPB for open session meetings. We can have an emergency meeting, you know, but it has to be for emergency purposes, right? So we can't call an emergency meeting and then, you know, kind of load the agenda for it up like a Christmas tree with all kinds of other things that, well, we're already having a meeting, so why don't we just handle these things too? So the things that we discussed last week and said we would move them to the meeting this week, that was before we realized that we wouldn't get the meeting notice posted with 7 days advance notice. So we won't be able to talk about those. And tonight's closed session is not about those items, and just in closed session just to cover them, right? Because that would equally be, if those were open session items, so we need to handle them in open session. The point being that we just won't be able to do it this evening because of, because we wouldn't otherwise have provided the public with proper notice.
But what we are discussing in closed session is an emergency, right?
So the same thing about public notice does not apply to closed session meetings because you don't need to give 7 days advance notice for a meeting that the public can't attend. That only, the 7-day notice only applies to open session meetings.
Well, but it's clear I haven't seen the agenda for the closed session.
Well, that's right. And that's because, I didn't let anybody send it out yet. And that's because I was still drafting a motion. So boom.
So it is an emergency then.
There are aspects of it that are basically extremely time sensitive. You are correct. Okay.
All right. Thank you for your patience.
Yeah. Sorry. Any other questions about tonight's agenda? Okay. Go ahead, Darlene.
So as we're looking at, as we're looking at the agenda, Oh, great. My computer, I just did something with it. It says that the motions below were not sent in time. So that is the motions below L the way down were not sent in time?
No. It's not that they weren't sent in time. They were sent in time. It's that the notice for the meeting wasn't posted in time. And so those are and basically they don't have anything to do with tonight's meetings. It's really just Paulina and I don't want to lose track of these things that from previous meetings that we had postponed to future meetings.
Right.
And
they're being carried forward so we don't lose them.
Exactly. But they're not really technically part of tonight's agenda.
Good. Thank you.
Yeah, no, that was a good question, Darlene. Thank you very much for asking me to clarify that. So any other further discussion of the open session agenda? All right. Are there any objections to the open session agenda? Hearing none, the agenda is approved. Okay.
That brings us for the open session.
For the open session, correct. That brings us to tonight's main event, which is the discussion of the Pacific Draft Audit. And I've invited Eileen Rosen, the chair of the Audit Committee, here this evening to give a presentation on the audit.
Chair, can you give me a time?
Yes. I'm sorry. This is a 30-minute item, Lawrence.
Thank you.
And Madam Chair, also, remind me, please, because I haven't done this before, what individual speakers are, the time allotted to them. And as I understand it, it is not Lawrence will tell me, it's not the speakers who are making the presentation.
Or the point of orders as well.
Correct. Or the point of orders. Okay.
Correct. And I believe we go 90 seconds, right?
2 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 2 minutes? Thank you.
That's what we have been doing.
Okay. Okay.
And Arthur has showed up.
Yes, Arthur's here. Thank you, Arthur. And for the record, Sharon Salam is here as well.
Thank you.
Chair, this is James.
Go ahead, James.
I wasn't aware that we were doing 2 minutes. I thought our normal practice was 90 seconds.
Madam Chair, may I speak?
Yes, please, Mr. Tatum.
2 minutes the first time. And 90 seconds the second time.
Thank you. All right. With all those preliminaries out of the way, Eileen, would you like to tell us about the audit?
I'm sorry, I'm a little hoarse tonight, so I don't really want to speak too long. And I don't really have a lot to say about the audit, except it is better than last year's. Each audit is a little better with every year that goes by. And some of that is due to the work of our accountants, NETA, who, you know, have spent their time since they started with us on digging into all the numbers that had not really been looked at since, I don't know, what, 2013 is the year I hear it. They've had to go back all that time to find all the missing connections and, you know, get things to add up to the right numbers. But it's also due to some of the actions we've taken in straightening out some of our affairs. I will say, though, perhaps one of the most significant things here is that we are still considered to have, there's still substantial doubt about Pacifica as an entity, our ability to continue as a going concern. And that basically means if we will be able to get through the following year, it's almost over now, fiscal year, and you know ours starts October 1st and goes through September 30th. If we can get through the following fiscal year and still be afloat and be able to pay all our bills and liabilities, And so there is apparently some substantial doubt about that, because we do have some important liabilities on the books that you all know about. Most significantly, the loan that we owe, that was originally, I think, $3 million or so. And we haven't paid down very much of it. We've been paying interest all this time. So we still have a big chunk on our books. And by the way, I think Julia Kennard is here. I saw you, didn't I? There you are. Feel free to jump in, Julia, with extra more information. We have more information on all this than I do.
Could I just say something, Eileen? Just the loan, this was as of September 30th, 2021.
Okay, yes.
It's now 2.1 million. On the audit, it's 3.1 million.
That's
so
great.
That's a fairly significant change.
That information is in the notes.
Okay, good. I have had a very, very busy week since we got the draft of the audit, so I haven't been able to read it quite as carefully as I wish I could have. So, you know, that's why I'd really like, it'd be great for you to continue adding in that information. So I'm not even really sure what else to say. I mean, we received the draft on Friday. I sent it out Saturday to the entire audit committee, so they would have time to review it before our Monday night meeting, when our auditor, Jorge Diaz from Rogers and Company, Jorge or George, however you like, came in and presented the audit to us and went through it with us step by step, which is what we try to do every year. That is what we need to do. And then the audit committee decides whether or not to accept the audit and pass it on to the PNB for the purposes that we have right now. I don't know if Julie, you can connect. Julie, you can correct me if you like, but part of just the discussion about the emergency, our 990, which is our tax return, is absolutely due next week on the 15th. That is
Monday.
And generally, the audit gets done before the 990 because all the work that goes into producing the financial statements. The audit is really the audited financial statements. We just say audit as shorthand. All the work that goes into the financial statements to get the numbers, we need those numbers to then put them into the 990. So generally, the audit gets done before the 990, and we have to turn that in, and I'm surmising, Julia, that we would want to send the audit and the 990 together to the California Attorney General's office, and we'll do that on August 15th. There are some hands up, Julie. I don't know if we want to take the questions now.
Let me see. Are you more or less finished, you know, with your...
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't have the time. I was working up until, you know, 10 minutes before this meeting. I don't have a big presentation prepared. So.
No, that's all right. Before I recognize people with questions, Julia, is there anything that you would add about the audit process for this year?
No, I think most of the notes, not the notes, but the narrative in the beginning really goes through the details of what went smoothly. And that there weren't any problems as far as the relationship goes between the auditor and staff as far as getting information that they needed. We did have to send a couple of typically you like to send one trial balance and allow them to move forward. And we did struggle with that at the end of May when we determined that there were some issues. So again, that's not a major deal, but I will acknowledge that we did have to send the trial balance, I think twice. I don't think we sent it three times, but as far as the process, I felt like it went pretty smoothly. Most staff turned around information that we needed for the 990 pretty quickly, as well as the, for the audit when it came down to the testing. It was a little bit slower on the front end, getting some information, but when it came down to the testing, which is, the actual items that the auditor selects, for us to pull and say, hey, here's the backup for that deposit or that contract. That went pretty smoothly.
Great. Thanks, Julia. So I have a little bit of a stack here. So, I'll go Susan, then Lawrence. Susan?
Yes, I'd like to draw people's attention to the fact that this is what's called a clean opinion, an unqualified opinion. That's important. That's an important accomplishment. And I think the combination of staff and NIDA are much to be complimented. And this is one of the reasons why we've been able to get to this place. Thank you all for your hard work. And I want to acknowledge that that is important.
Amen.
Thank you, Susan. I mean, I think, you know, the fact that, for example, the testing phase went smoothly, you know, really is a testament to the fact that, you know, NETA has helped us with our accounting and interface with the auditors for, you know, several years now. And and we're starting to really see, you know, the fruits of that pay off in terms of things going smoothly. Sorry, Lawrence, you're next, and then Jim Sagerton.
Thank you. And thank you, Susan, for pointing that out, highlighting that. I think that is really important. And Eileen, good to see you again. I know that you are a veteran of these audits. So even if you didn't read it, if I would have read it, I still wouldn't have had the knowledge that you would have had in regards to the audit. So appreciate that. My question is, in regards to the committee, how did they receive it? What kind of discussion ensure in regards to whatever it is that you can say about that? And was there a vote taken to recommend the audit? And if you could give me the numbers on the vote.
Yeah, I would say that there were some lively questions during and after Jorge's presentation, and Jorge answered them. I would I'd recommend you go and listen to the audio of the meeting, because then you can hear exactly what our auditor had to say about our situation and the numbers and the contents of the audit. And then you can listen to the questions and some of the arguments we had at the very end. Yeah, and so there was a motion to, I believe, to accept the audit and move it on to the PNB. And then between the time that that happened and the secretary was going to inform the PNB with a note that it had been accepted and send out the draft, I wrote to her and asked her not to send it because we had an updated draft already. And so, of course, we want to get the most updated version of the document to you guys. So let's see. I believe the secretary of the PNB, Paulina, received that information and received the copy of the second draft, which may be what you have in your hands tonight. I don't think we have quite the finalized version. As it happens, auditors, you know, sometimes they give yet another look to their audits, to their work. They review it, more than once. And in this case, Mr. Diaz found something that he thought was worth updating. And indeed, it was actually to the great benefit of Pacifica, because I don't know how many of you remember, and we're not going to get into the details because it's way too wonky and hard to understand and explain. But we'd have some outstanding property taxes because of our name change with the comma or the period or the INC something. And the, I guess it was California tax people then lost track of us and didn't give us the usual discount or not needing to pay the property taxes since we're a nonprofit. And we were being billed, all that. We finally got it resolved. I got to say, Lydia Brasson did a great job of working her way through that inscrutable bureaucracy.
And Maria.
Huh?
Did you mean Maria?
Well, I meant Lydia. I know she did a lot of it. Did Maria do a lot of it, too? Okay.
Yes.
Whoever did it. We got that taken care of. It was like $450,000 that we were perhaps going to owe. And we saw that, and Jorge saw that really we could take that off of the books. And it no longer appears as a liability in our books. And that was the big change in between the two drafts, as I understand it.
Okay, so just real quick, Ali, because I do have a few seconds left. In regards to the unqualified opinion and then the doubt that we will continue as an entity, can you just briefly? Yeah, go ahead.
I think and Julia or anybody else can correct me, I believe the part about it being unqualified is that I think this was last year as well that the auditor finally felt comfortable enough with the work that had been done on our numbers and how they all came together. There was enough documentation and backup for all those numbers. And, you know, that's a lot of what he does during testing to see if the numbers can be confirmed by, you know, with evidence. So that the numbers that do appear in the audit can be trusted. Those are the right numbers. That's what we have. That's what we spent. That's what we took in, et cetera. The question of a going concern is a different part of this whole package. That is more like, okay, so your numbers are good or reliable, I should say, but what are the numbers? Do you have enough money to pay all your bills? So you see the difference there, Lawrence? Is that clear? Okay.
May I make a comment there?
Please do.
It really has to do more with what is the likelihood that you will be in business after the next 12 months?
Okay.
And so that's where they're expressing the doubt. And I think that has been there for years. Which is not good either, but that is the difference. So the unqualified opinion is about how you're running your how you're tracking everything, keeping up with it, documenting it. Whereas the going concern is, are you going to stay in business after the coming year? And that is something that is changing, I believe. I don't believe I'm wrong with this, but it's usually been 12 months from the time that the audit is completed. I believe that George said next year that it is changing to 12 months from the end of the fiscal year.
Okay.
Interesting. Thank you. So next up is Jim Sagerton, then Jim Dingman. Jim Sagerton?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. My question was going to be about the situation with the Alameda County Board of Equalization or the property tax issue. And I think that was explained that it was like a $400,000 difference in our total deficit, which really improved our situation, made us look much better in this audit. So I'm not going to go into that because it's already been covered, but I did want to add that and I said this on the finance committee when we looked at this, sometimes it's confusing for people to hear that we have an unqualified opinion. It sounds like it's a bad opinion from mm-hmm. our auditors. And actually, if you think of it as an unqualified success, it really means it's an audit without qualifications of a negative nature. So this is a good thing. And I want to say, just to reiterate what Julia just said about the going concern, yes, we have indeed had that going concern for many years. It's not a good thing, for sure, but also it's, you know, not to be panicked about it, because again, we've had it for many years, and it, just because it's there doesn't mean we're going to disappear, but of course we are in a dire situation. That's all. Thank you.
Thanks. Jim Dingman, then Darlene. Jim?
Yeah. I also want to reiterate my thanks to everybody who put this together. I know it's a lot of hard work, and now it allows us to actually exploit it and use it to raise money and do all sorts of creative things with it. And, you know, this whole issue of the going concern question, I was just sort of puzzled, because I'm on the committee. I was chairing another committee that night, so I was listening to the discussions, and I was just trying to figure out, like, why was there this contestation about the paragraph 16 of the audit, which deals with the question of the ongoing concern question, because we all know this. I mean, what's the big deal? We all know this. That's why we're acting with great energy to try to solve this in all sorts of different ways. So I'm just trying to figure out what the hell was the big deal about to, you know, argue about that being included or not. Could you elaborate on that, Eileen?
No, I can't, actually. Okay. I'm sorry.
I can assist there. Yes, the majority of that statement in that note has been there for a while. When things change, you have to change the note. And so there was a section of that note that no longer applied during 2021. And so there were three services from a couple of years ago that were noted by the then executive director as something that would be being utilized to assist in turning things around. One was radio research consortium, you know, to get the the ratings. And then two other ones, I think one had to do with, was like a fundraising type membership, you know, through an association or something like that. I reached out to all of the units to verify that those were still in place. Two were not, and one is not being used by a unit. The information in that paragraph no longer applied, so it was deleted. That's also why it was considered to be inconsequential as far as a change. It was not a major numerical change. There was no big change in amounts. And that was something that had already been, was supposed to be included, and I caught it after we had sent out that first draft. So that had more to do, Jim. I don't know if that answers your question. So I don't think it was, I didn't hear a lot of this debate or see it, but I don't know that it was necessarily about that section itself, but that there was an edit to that section.
I see. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. And, the thing that I want to reiterate, you know, because we're in open session and there may be people listening who aren't that familiar with audits. And basically, you know, the bottom line with the audit is it's a report by our independent auditors having audited our financial books. And so it's their report, right? And if they feel that something shouldn't be in there, they're going to take it out, right? And so, you know, it's not up to us to approve the audit, right? We accept the audit. But at any rate, that's kind of, you know, the bottom line there. So, Lawrence, you've already spoken. So, and Arthur has his hand up. So how about if I recognize Arthur and then we'll come back to you. Arthur?
Okay. I just wanted to make a couple of points. Just one of the, the first thing that I actually scrolled to is the, after the notes is all the little print. The schedule of financial position. And so one of the, to me, the key piece of that is the difference between operating revenue, which on a PDF, I don't know what page it's on, but it's page 33 of the audit. Operating revenue for the fiscal year was $11,095,555, and expenses were $11,538,444, which means we were negative $442,000,000, $442,000 during the fiscal year. The reason we didn't fall apart is because we got, during this fiscal year, there was some PPP money and some idle money, that probably equaled about the same amount. Some of it has to get repaid and some of it doesn't have to get repaid. But that's not reflected in that. It's not a grant. It's not a listener support or other revenue. It's not listed under other revenue. So that's, am I right, Julia?
PPP is under grants.
It's under grants. Okay.
Yes.
So.
It's spread out. So that's why you don't see one giant number.
Right.
For those.
It's spread out among the different stations?
Correct. For those who see the monthly financial statements, they'll note that under their miscellaneous income on their monthly financial statements in the month of August of 21.
But I think but that's sort of the goal. One of the goals we have to have is that even with that money, we were a negative 400 and.
Correct.
42,000 on the fiscal year. To me, that's actually the most important number in this whole audit. Cause some of the stuff with net assets and whatever gets a little skewed because like the net assets in note 7, which talks about net assets, where it says that the property that we own is only worth, just flipping up to it.
Page 16.
Right, page.
Or page 16. 18 of the
thing. Right. Land and buildings is only worth $2.7 million. That's, I believe, utilizing the cost of purchase, original purchase. Because we know, for example, that after this audit, we sold the Houston property for $1.2 million. And I know because I had to have an appraisal done for FJC before they extended the loan in 2021. The appraisals came in at like $3 million. One of the LA and Oakland and Berkeley, one was three, one was four. So this is like the original purchase price on the assets. So our assets are actually in lay terms, as opposed to accounting terms, are greater than that. And we don't have a net of property and equipment of only $1.42 million. So people should just understand that, especially folks at home who are listening, and say, what happened to all of our buildings? And
book value was the term you're looking for.
The what?
Book value.
Book value, right. Just so people understand that that's the book value as opposed to that, the current value. And then the only note that I had a problem with was in note 16, in the discussion of the FJC loan, it talks about, on page, on page 28, it says, other violations of certain loan covenants also appear to be likely. And I'm not sure why the auditor put that in there because, and that's in some ways it's an incendiary statement that somebody could latch onto because having just negotiated the 2-year extension with FJC, who looked at an earlier draft of this, which was worse. I'm not sure that I know of any loan covenants that appear to be likely, and I'm not sure what that refers to and puts the foundation at a risk of having the loan called prematurely. And you should understand that that stuff gets waved like a flag, like a Trump flag at the January 6th, events. Look at what the auditor said. The loan's going to get called prematurely. We're about to default on the loan. And, I don't know of any, and having worked with them pretty closely several times over the last couple of years, I don't know what that's referring to, and I think that ought not be in there.
I believe it's referring to the ability to make the payments and maintain the ability to pay the interest. And I know there's not payments. It's not like a typical loan, even at the balloon payment statement, that, you know, the ability to start paring down that balance that is there, and right, as well as making the interest payments.
It does note in there that after the fiscal year, we paid it down to $2.1 million, which lessened any, it didn't eliminate the possibility of not being able to, but it actually lessened the monthly payments that we have to pay to them. And I just think that's a flag that the auditor ought to reconsider.
I think I was looking through my notes, also about the deadline for the audit to be received. I know it's before now, and so keeping up with that. And whether they choose to use that or not, it's detailed in their covenants. So I think that's why he I could ask him, but I seriously doubt he would pull that, simply because that's how the document is written.
Thanks. Lawrence, then Susan. Oh, but hold on one moment, Lawrence, before you go. I just want to acknowledge for Marianna Dane's benefit that Donna Grimes has joined us.
Thank you.
Got it. Go ahead, Lawrence.
Thank you. And we have 20 minutes left on this item, Chair, just to let you know. So did the question for Julia or for Eileen, question, did the auditor exercises prerogative or their prerogative to delete section 16 from the audit? And then I have a follow-up question after that.
I'm sorry, to delete what? Sentences?
Yeah, the I don't know if it's section 16 or page 16. Did they decide to exercise their prerogative? I know you said something about some things were deleted. Can you?
Right. I actually am the one who recommended that it be deleted because it no longer applied. It was the use of those three services. And originally it was not under note 16. There were some other changes, I believe. It was actually originally note 19. I might be wrong, but I mean, that's a back and forth conversation that we have with the auditors. And so it's something that I mentioned to our George Walter, as well as George with Rogers and Company, and we all agreed that it no longer applied, so it needed to be removed.
Thank you for that answer. Eileen, do you want to?
No? Nope. Thanks.
And then my follow-up question, my last question is, what was the take on the auditors in regards to our plans moving forward? Did they have anything to say about that?
Well, I think they kind of sum it up some in the initial pages and on note 16, that there are concerns about cash flow and the ability to pay down the debt while also being able to stay ahead of the accounts payable balances that continue to build. So they're, you know, kind of see it the same, I think, as we all have, that fundraising needs to improve dramatically.
Thanks. Susan Young.
Thank you, Julia.
Yeah, as I understand it, the auditors do not assess the quality of our activities or what we're doing going forward. So questions about our ability to raise money, I think is my understanding of what Julia said, is there is a concern that we are cash insolvent. I think as Arthur has pointed out, and the assets don't include, I don't think, the signals, the archives, the whatever. It's just buildings. So I think we're asset rich, but we have to in some ways monetize those or liquidate them in order to convert them into cash. Thank you, Arthur, for bringing up the fact that PPP bailed us out and we still didn't balance the budget, and that the EIDL loans have given us a cushion. A question, I have two questions, I guess, for Julia, maybe. One is, my understanding of the kind of Sarbanes-Oxley requirement is that the 990 should be circulated to the entire board. Will we see the 990? That's number one. And number two, I can't remember.
I'll answer number one while you think about it. Yes, we will distribute it, but it does not have to be approved by the board. It just needs to be seen by the board.
Okay, good.
And its information is pulled from the audited financials, so.
Right. No, but what I like is the checklist.
Yes, yes.
Is, mm-hmm. You know, the things like, do you have a whistleblower right. policy, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And then the other thing is, did Arthur's renegotiation and extension of the loan show up, and I'm sorry for not having paid enough attention, as a subsequent event?
It is in the notes. I can't Great. Remember if it's in the subsequent notes, subsequent event section, or if it's in the debt section, but it is in there.
It's there.
Yeah. Teresa Allen, then Jim Sagerton. Teresa?
Yes. Where did I put my no? Okay. Can I ask how much our audit cost in open session?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe we can ask, I guess. I would like to know that. And
it's a lot. It's more than I would have been surprised, I will say. But yeah, it's a lot.
And I would like to know how we can lower it, which is the same question I asked like 20 years ago when we had an audit. And another question I'd like to know whether is if I listen to the meetings with the auditor, would I find that the members of the audit committee had been civil to Netta and the auditor? Those are my questions, and I don't know whether you can answer them in open session, but maybe I can find out some other time. Thank you.
What was that for?
I would say that they were civil.
Okay.
To everyone involved.
Good. Thank you.
It's all relative.
Yeah. I mean, I think.
Yeah, it wasn't over the top. I think where some of the angst came from was some people were trying to ask questions about 2020 and we're doing 2021 and he can't remember stuff he audited last year from 2020. So I think that was the part that Eileen had mentioned. Got a little bit rambunctious, but
to my question about how to get the cost lower, can you tell us sometime what we specifically could have done to have lowered the costs of this audit? Can you tell us sometime?
I could do that. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I need to speak with him. First of all, I have my opinion. Mm-hmm. But I would rather get...
Well, I'd like both.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's a good question, Teresa. Thanks. We'll follow up with Julia and see if we can't get an answer to that at some point. And I don't know the answer to the question of whether it's appropriate to, you know, blurt out loud what is the audit cost on open session, but certainly we'll make sure that the PMB directors, you know, probably via email, know what the audit costs so that, you know, everybody has the same information. I still have another little bit of a stack going here.
Can I just speak to this one point, though?
Yes, go ahead, Eileen.
Yeah, two things. First of all, at the beginning of every year, the auditors send us the engagement letter that states what their fees will be for the coming audit. So we know beforehand what it's going to cost. Also, I had done a little, I made a little chart of what we've paid Rogers and Company over the years since they started. And I will send that to you, Julie. So you may want to share it in closed session. I don't know. But I'm trying to unearth it right now so I can send it to you.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate that. So I've got a couple more people on the stack. And I think these are all frequent flyers. So we're down to 90 seconds on these. Jim Sagerton, then Teresa.
Thank you, Chair.
Teresa.
Oh, Teresa's putting her hand down. Go ahead, Jim Sagerton, then Jim Dingman, but Jim Sagerton.
Thank you. I just wanted to add that the 990s, it has long been our practice to post them. I believe it's at least a CPB requirement, but possibly other governmental entities require FCC perhaps that we post our 990s on our website. So they'll be available for everyone to see there.
That's correct. And, I believe that's part of the Internal Revenue Code. Thanks.
We also post the audit.
Correct. And so people need to just, you know, give us a day or two after the audit is officially completed and, et cetera, before we can have it posted. So, but it'll be there soon. Jim Dingman.
Yeah, this is sort of a follow up what Teresa said, to Julia. One of the things we discussed over the weekend was the necessity and need to get good after-action reports from NEDA about a whole bunch of functions that they have performed across the board and what they've learned, what they can suggest going forward in terms of reducing costs. And it is my impression this issue of posting the expense of the audits, one has seen that in the past, and it would be useful to know how expensive they were, because we know in the past they were inordinately expensive for all sorts of reasons. And I think it would be useful to know how that can be avoided, as people said, but also the actual costs. I think that I've seen those numbers before in past discussions on the PMB over the past 20 years.
Thanks. Mr. Tatum.
Yes, Madam Chair. I would treat the contract with the auditors like you would any other contract that PNB has with anyone. And this is a vendor just like the other vendors. So I'm thinking that maybe sharing among executive board meetings would be okay. But, you know, all contracts that we have with vendors are not open to the public.
Thank you. That was my suspicion, but I wasn't 100% sure. Appreciate that, Mr. Tatum. Is there any further discussion about the audit? All right, folks. So we have a motion, now I have to go back to the motion so that
Chair, this is one.
Yes, go ahead, Jim Sagerton.
And the question was raised about what can we do to reduce the cost of our audits. And one of the things that we can do internally to do that is to make sure our delivery of the information to the auditors and to NEDA before the auditors so that they can prepare it and get it to the auditors in a timely way. That's where a lot of the time gets taken up, and time is money in these regards. So if the more we improve our internal functioning, the better off we're going to be on the bottom line as far as the price goes. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Okay. I'm now going to read the motion regarding the audit. Whereas the auditor sent the draft audit on August 5th, 2022, slight correction to the original motion that I emailed out to people, but that's the correct date. Sorry. Whereas the auditor sent the draft audit on August 5th, 2022, and whereas the audit committee reviewed and accepted the draft audit at its August 8th, 2022 meeting and passed a motion to send the audit to the PNB for its consideration, and whereas the auditor sent a revised version of the audit on August 9th, 2022, therefore be it resolved that the Pacifica National Board accepts the audit of Rogers and Company and that said audit should be immediately filed with the appropriate government agencies. Is someone willing to move the motion?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Jim, second.
Got it. All right. Any discussion of the motion? Hearing none, are there any objections to the motion? Again, hearing none, the motion passes. Thank you all very much. Thank you, Eileen and Julia, for, you know, explaining and answering all the questions that we had. And, you know, when the auditor, just so everybody understands, we pay the auditors and then they release the final audit. And so, that transaction should happen, you know, okay, maybe not any second now, but it's imminent. And so, you know, so this is really kind of a job well done. Thank you to everyone on the audit committee for, you know, all the work they put in terms of, making sure this happened. And, you know, I know at times it may have, seemed difficult and whatnot, but, you know, the proof is in the pudding, and, you know, I'm really pleased that we have an unqualified opinion this year. You know, even as everyone is aware of our, financial situation and, you know, but that's a thing that we can work on, you know, going forward. So, that said, I believe it is time to adjourn to closed session. At 9:36 p.m. Eastern Time. Can I get a motion?
I'll so move, Chair.
Thank you, Lawrence. A second?
Second, Susan.
Thank you, Susan. Any objections?
Aye.
Hearing none. We are adjourned. Can we take five? Take five.